This is Richard Roth. I'm here with Ann Forbes Cooper and Tom Rowe. Our guests are Rich Klin and his wife, Lily Prince, who have published a book called Something to Say, Thoughts on Art and Politics in America. Rich, Lily, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here. A codified study of art and politics, but we can get at least a smattering, an educated smattering. So we went out into the field.
And were these largely people that you knew beforehand?
No, we didn't know. I don't think we knew any of them, actually. We certainly don't know Pete Seeger. We were lucky enough to meet with Howard Zinn right before he died. We didn't know him. But no, we had to go out and poke around and sort of make big pains out of ourselves.
And I have to say, I think that was one of the hardest parts of the book.
You really wanted to get, but you couldn't.
I think that, you know, Rich had sort of a vision for the book, just covering all different genres and starting with, you know, writers and a painter and, you know, poet and all of that. And then it just kind of branched out from there. We wound up with a political cartoonist, a stand-up comedian, an organic chef. You know, we really took the term art. You can see how they're changing the world, you know, one step at a time, and it's so inspiring. D.D. Emmons, our organic chef in the book, is doing gang prevention in inner-city Boston by teaching kids how to cook, kids who have never had a meal home cooked for them, and they don't know how to cook themselves, certainly. And here they are learning how to cook organic food and then cooking for other people in the community. It's empowering and it's self-nurturing. It's really quite amazing. And this is the kind of thing that doesn't get
go out west, but there's logistical difficulties. We have a daughter. We don't have $1 million. You know, life continues. People are on tour. They're teaching. They're doing whatever. We wanted to make it. We didn't want to make it just East Coast, even though it sort of is East Coast.
But we do have, you know, the political cartoonist Jen Sorensen is from the West Coast, as is the performance artist Cheryl Oring.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, at least a couple people representing the other coast.
Yeah, yeah. And Ron Nicewainer lives right. Voices, most of them have not been heard. So
yeah, we have occasionally had people ask us recently, well, why isn't there a conservative artist in this book? And quite frankly, I don't know any conservative artists. But I'm sure they're out there. I mean, I'm sure there are a few out there, but we don't really care.
Yeah. You know? I can hear their viewpoint on Fox or anytime I read the daily paper. But
you know, our side needs this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Had you done anything along this line before, say articles for
a once in a while kind of thing, once a year? And so when we had the idea for the book and the publisher, you know, Leapfrog Press, was really enthusiastic right off the bat, we were thrilled to be able to work on this. And now it's 2 years later, and here it is. It's a real book, so it's very exciting.
Now, where are they located, Leapfrog Press?
They're out of Cape Cod. They're a really interesting, thriving, independent publisher, and I think Marge Piercy is their big one of their big claims to fame.
Indeed, then.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
All the way around.
So, did you find out anything that surprised you from any of your interviewees?
Something enormously surprising was the across-the-board optimism that sort of really floored us. That all these people interviewed, all 15 of them, were optimistic that art, yes, can change the world, and it may not happen overnight. And it's different than being Pollyanna. Seeger wouldn't suggest that you can sing We Shall Overcome and oppression's going to come to an end. It's a long, hard road. But down the line, all 15 of these people thought what they're doing can make a change. I was floored by that. You know, these people have seen a lot of horrible things. The painter Freddy Rodriguez deals with the horrors of growing up under the Trujillo dictatorship in the Dominican Republic. You know, down the line, the filmmaker Ginny Rediker has dealt with African genocide, you know.
And they did it. They did it. And she saw that and she recorded that. And it's really quite amazing.
Yeah, I don't think both of us, Lily and I, didn't expect that. You know, I mean, if there are private moments of despair or doubt, which I'm sure there are, it wasn't apparent in our profiles or these people's art also.
So you guys really learned something as well.
Oh, we learned a huge amount.
A lot, yeah.
It was like 15 private seminars with these 15 very different, very creative political people.
And how did you carry on the interviews?
Wonderful to be invited into people's homes and you know, have them be surrounded by either their art collection or their book collection or, you know, whatever was important to them that helped define them.
And so you were in the Dakota with Yoko Ono.
That's a funny story.
Well, we had said, Rich and I, that we absolutely would not do any interview ever for this book unless we interviewed the person in person and I took the photograph. And when it came down to actually, they don't realize that she had an incredible art career way before she met him and has continued to have an art career for, you know, the past 30, 40 years. So she's really, she's been a political artist for decades.
A very political artist. I mean, it's fascinating. Since the 50s.
Yeah, so. She was way ahead of her time. Incredible, really.
Yeah.
Well, I can remember grapefruit being of a certain age.
Yeah.
Now, did you have sort of a back and forth with her?
Very minor back and forth. We had back and forth with most of the people. Yoko was sort of like a Q&A. My model was creative nonfiction, an enormous amount of editing. You know, I mean, I would take the transcripts of the interviews. You know, partly it's my input, it's their input, it's their art. You know, if the political cartoonist, Jen Sorensen, I also talked about political cartooning. I mean, it was like writing a novel on some level. You know, there were lots and lots of edits. Lily helped edit also, too, the sort of painter's eye is wonderful when applied to writing.
I feel very lucky. I'll put in a plug for Bart also at 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock.
At the Kleiner James Art Gallery.
34 Tinker Street. It's sponsored by Golden Notebook Bookstore. But we'll be here in Hudson on the 8th.
And what will you be doing at Spotty Dog?
We're going to be doing a presentation. I realize it's Mother's Day also, too. But I'm going to be just talking about the book, maybe reading one of the profiles. Lily will show her photos and talk about that process. And
I'll be sharing some personal anecdotes of, you know, photographing each person. So, you know, if you're here visiting.
I think it was pretty much understood. And we wanted to make them look good. This wasn't sort of a critical, awful thing where we're trying to do a hatchet job on somebody.
But it was very trusting of them. I mean, really all they had to go by was, you know, the few profiles that we had done for January Magazine, which obviously were very positive. You know, we are not the type of people to rip people apart. We want to support people. But it, you know, nobody asked to see the photos. Nobody asked to see the writing. It was just understood when they signed a release form that we had, you know, free rein to do our art.
Called Russell Banks, and like I mentioned, a couple other people. But they do book reviews. They're an amazing site, I think. So.
And are you working on anything together now, or will you be doing more in the future, given that this has been such a successful outcome?
That could be in the hands of gods and publishing companies. We'd like to.
Yes, we're hoping to work again with Leapfrog Press, if possible. Yeah. We have a couple of really exciting ideas that we're